0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Premiership action. Celtic look to get back to winning ways as Rangers get set to say goodbye to some outgoing players. The real meaningful games come elsewhere in the table, with Dundee United potentially relegated tonight. Aberdeen could secure third, but Hearts will have other ideas, and there's plenty more to look for in that race for Europe as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, on a lot of important games. Gordon, top of the league, looking to see who could finish third. Aberdeen are in pole position. Home game against St Mirren, who were terrific, the other week there against Celtic. But obviously the drama is all at the bottom. You know, that's where the nerves are still jangling for many of these clubs. They're all top clubs. They all want to be in the top division. But sadly, one of them's going to miss out. One of them's going to be in the playoff.
What a night ahead, Scott Allen.
What a night ahead. I think the Dundee United fans at home or at the game will be really nervous tonight. It's so much to lose considering the players that they signed this year. So I think that's going to be an interesting one at the bottom, and huge games for Aberdeen and Hearts.
Every single team in the division in action tonight, so there is no excuse to not hear from you. Come on, 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts on the games and some breaking news tonight. Just as we've come on air, Rangers have announced the pre-contract signing of Kieran Dowell from Norwich on a 3-year deal. They say he will officially join the club on the 1st of July. So there we are, a bit of signing news, and the season's not even over yet. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? What do you make of that as a first piece of business this summer? Are you happy? Have you been doing your research? How do you feel he will fit into the team? There's another topic, as if it's not busy enough tonight. 0141 951 1025. But the reason I love these nights, because everybody is out and about, heading to the games, and I like to share that with you, because we're jealous being stuck in here. So give us a call if you're on your way to wherever, if you're on your way through to Easter Road. Celtic fans, it's not often you have to bounce back to winning ways this season, is it? But that is the reality. Who would you like to see come back into the team this evening? Rangers fans, what are you expecting? Is it all going to be about these emotional farewells? Do you expect these players to play from the start? Will they just come on and get their goodbye? Does Alan McGregor start in goal for this one so that he can get his goodbye and maybe Robbie McCrory comes back in at the weekend? I don't know, you tell me. And if there are any Dundee United fans brave enough to come out from behind the sofa, then please do give us a call, because it could be the night. There is a combination of results which could see 12th place confirmed, so we will watch on with interest. 0141 951 1025. It doesn't get much bigger than this, Jim, because this is the point of the split. I think everybody knows that. We've got 6 games, all 12 teams in action, and apart from the title race, really every other game is meaningful. Well, let's forget Livy and Motherwell, right? But yeah. And it's all against the teams round about you, yeah. So everything's at stake tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Gordon. In terms of, you know, if you're a club, you know, let's just talk about the bottom six to start with. If you're a club fighting for relegation, then you know it's in your own hands. All of those clubs have got it in their own hands if they can get a positive result. So as Scott was saying there, Dundee United playing Kilmarnock, Ross County playing St Johnstone. So, you know, if these clubs, you know, have aspirations, of course they do, to stay in the league, then they've got the perfect opportunity. They're playing their nearest rivals, so that is really what you want with 2 games to go. There's nothing worse if you're having to wait in other people's results, but you know the night, both Dundee United and Kilmarnock, a victory would give them an unbelievable opportunity to stay up. Ross County the same. And going for third place, you've got Aberdeen at home to St Mirren. Again, they've just shaded a little bit the last couple of games, although Barry Robson felt that you know the their performance has been a bit better. And with Rangers at home to Hearts, and as you said, they're kind of saying goodbyes to some of their players. I think Aberdeen will be hoping that Rangers can do that, and they can do their business against St Mirren. Although, as we said, St Mirren have had an outstanding season, so that'll be a tough game.
And the reason I really like this time of the season, Scott Allen, is because all the guff that we need to listen to all season, the managers telling us that they only focus on their own results, it goes out the window, because you can't for some of them. They have to look at what's happening elsewhere. So many moving parts tonight.
Yeah, they have to. And obviously from my own experience over the last few weeks with Arbroath, you definitely are looking at other results, and especially what's going on in your game. I think the Dundee United one, looking at Dundee United at the start of this season, the players they'd assembled spent a lot of money to see them at the bottom of the league with two games to go, and I know it's still in their own hands. It's incredible. They were in Europe, they put in a good performance at home to Alkmaar. So to see them in this position, it just shows you how tough the league can be if you don't put that form together.
And we've even got new signing news tonight as well. Just as we came on air, Rangers confirming the pre-contract signing of Kieran Dowell from Norwich. So Rangers fans, what do you make of that? That's your big piece of news today, if you like. Are you happy with that signing? How do you see the summer business as it kicks off? And then elsewhere, the games tonight, come on, are you heading along to any of them? Why not let us know your thoughts, Rangers fans? Pick your team. Who are you hoping gets a big emotional farewell? Maybe some you're not that bothered about, I don't know, you tell me. Hibs against Celtic fans, bit of tinkering at the back in particular in recent weeks. What are you hoping to see this evening? And of course all those big games elsewhere. Let's set the scene for you at let's go Andrew McLean first at Ibrox. Take it away, Andrew.
Yeah, well, a few interesting things happening here at Ibrox tonight. As you mentioned, Gordon, it is a night of farewells. The announcement yesterday, Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent, Alan McGregor, Scott Arfield, Philip Hellander, all leaving this summer at the end of their contract. So a chance to say goodbye to Ibrox and the supporters here. Fans told to stay in their seats at full time because there will be a presentation as well. You wonder if that will affect Michael Beale's team selection too. Will Alan McGregor be set for a final competitive appearance here before his testimonial in the summer? What part will Alfredo Morelos and Scott Arfield have to play? It's unlikely we'll see anything from Ryan Kent due to injury, definitely not Philip Hellander as well, because he's a long-term injury, of course. But Michael Beale did hint in the build-up to this game that there would be a new arrival that would be in attendance at this game, and we now know it is Kieran Dowell. The Norwich City midfielder has signed a three-year deal, a pre-contract that takes effect from the 1st of July, so he becomes the first summer signing for Michael Beale. I'm sure there will be plenty more to follow as well. But it is a massive night for Hearts as well. They're desperate to chase down Aberdeen in third place. Their home form under Stephen Naismith has been good, but they'll be looking for improvements away from home, and they'll be hoping that they can somehow close that gap to Aberdeen tonight. I'll bring you the full team news from Ibrox when I get it.
What do you think then, Rangers fans? Who do you want to see? Are you expecting these players to get their big emotional farewell from the beginning? Did they come on? I mean, particularly Alan McGregor, what's going to happen there? He came on in the Scottish Cup final, didn't he, when everyone thought he was going to leave? Does he maybe just start the game tonight with it being the final home game? Get all your thoughts in, especially if you're on your way to the game. What about Easter Road, Gabriel?
Yeah, good evening from the sunny capital. It's 18 degrees here. Feels like a real end-of-season match with the summer just around the corner, but there's still big business on the agenda for these two sides. Hibernian are scrapping for European football, whilst Celtic players are battling for a place in the starting 11 at Hampden in 10 days' time. They, of course, have the chance to complete the treble. Staying with the Hoops, they've been below their extremely high standards in their last two games, losing 3-0 to Rangers and having to score late on to salvage a point at home to St Mirren. They'll still want to hit over 100 points and rack up as many goals as possible. The record against Hibs has been so impressive this season, scoring 13 times in the previous three games. All were victories. Now, I spoke to manager Ange Postecoglou yesterday. He was on good form and he was defending his team after failing to win either of those two matches since they were crowned league winners. He was just reminding everyone that they are champions. He also claims he's not interested with any of the transfer business rivals Rangers are completing this summer. Everyone has a plan until he gets punched in the nose, he says. Well, let's see how the fight on the pitch goes this evening. Postecoglou also hinted that he's likely to make a few more changes as he tries to keep the entire squad on their toes for their showdown with Inverness next weekend. Well, what about the hosts? Well, it's been a mixed bag in the split for Hibs with a win, a draw and a loss. They weren't great in the weekend's 3-0 loss to Rangers here. I spoke to manager Lee Johnson after the game on Sunday. He knows the race for European football is still in his hands, although he says fifth place is looking more likely than anything higher. They're 2 points clear of St Mirren below them. St Mirren up at Pittodrie this evening, so a point here could prove massive for them. Three would be even bigger. They trail Hearts in fourth by 4 points, and they travel to Tynecastle for the derby on the final day at the weekend. So a huge game for the Hibs. I'll bring you team news when it comes. We should have that in just under 20 minutes.
Looking forward to those. We've got someone at Tannadice as well, so we'll go there and get you team news because that one is massive. Like we said, it could be official relegation tonight, depending how other results go. We'll bring you updates ahead of at the other games as well. Ross County St Johnston is the other one down there that, that really means something. And we won't forget Livy Motherwell. Can Kev make it 10 in a row?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's the real Kevin question. We will see. We will see indeed. Right, 01419511025. Always a busy show when we've got grounds to go around. So let's get stuck in on the calls. Kenny is a Rangers fan first up. Is it all about these farewells tonight, Kenny?
It is, to be honest with you, Gordon. I think this is the ones who are out of contract and not, you know, and I don't want new contracts. I've not been offered new contracts. I think there'll be quite a few more to follow in contract. But Scott Arfield, Alan McGregor's been a brilliant servant, right, don't get me wrong, but we knew he was coming to the end of his time. Scott Arfield is the one I thought would be got another year and player, which I think he's great at. Morelos, I'd get rid of him 3 years ago. I've never been his biggest fan. I think it's always been a bit of a liability. To be off for about a year and a bit now. He's been injured for quite a long time. So
I think the line's breaking up a bit, Kenny. I can certainly hear you. We're only missing the odd bit here and there. But Jim, that was yesterday was strange because you knew all five of them were leaving, really. I don't think there's any surprise, but there's still something that feels quite dramatic when you see it all kind of written down and confirmed on the same day, and it really hits home how big a change is coming.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, they're experienced players, you know, obviously none more so than Alan McGregor, who is, as Kenny said, is an exceptional career at Rangers over the two periods. I think he's very harsh on Alfredo Morelos, I have to say that. I think his goals return and his European goals return is actually exceptional. I think he cost a couple of hundred grand. I think, you know, I mean, he's value for money.
I think a million, but yeah, you're still right.
I think he's been terrific, for value for money. So I think that, I think these players, listen, Scott Arfield, as you know, is a big Rangers fan, and you know, the fans like him and he loves it. But I think, as Michael Beale alluded to, that was Scott himself wants more game time, and bringing in the likes of Kieran Dowell, he's got Todd Cantwell now, they've Tom Lawrence coming back, and he's got Lundstrom and Jack signed a new contract. He's looking at that area of the pitch, maybe Scott himself, and saying, well, look, listen, I'm your biggest fan here, but I want to play. And therefore he still thinks there's maybe a good couple of years at top level in him. And I think that's more the reason. I think he's had a discussion with the manager and they've agreed that game time might be limited. So I think that might have been more a Scott Arfield decision than a club decision.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Beale called it amicable. Scott Allen, Kenny on the line. In fact, everybody who gets in touch with the show in the last few days has said something similar. I think maybe we could or should have held on to Scott Arfield. Is the time right?
I think what Jim says is probably spot on. I think Scott Arfield's sitting watching games there thinking he can make an impact still, even at the age he is. He still has had an effect on the Rangers team when he's played at this time. So as you get older, you still want to play as much football as you can. And like Jim alluded on there, he could maybe go down to a lower end championship club and still play in big games. Rangers is a huge club that plays in Europe, but I think Arfield might have been the guy who's saying, listen, I still feel I can give more. I think in terms of Alfredo Morelos, I think the call was really harsh. I think Alfredo Morelos last year, if he's fit in that the Europa League final, Rangers win that game, I think that's how valuable he'd been, his goals and in the league and in Europe. So I think it would be good to give them all kind of a send off at some point tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, so Kent Morelos, you don't sound too happy about the way it's ended.
No, can you hear me better now?
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. I think he's quite right with Arfield. I think maybe it has been a bit with him. I just thought maybe they could have promised him a bit more game time or a bit more involved in the first team squad. Morelos, I'm maybe being a bit harsh on him. Ken, as I say, was a great player for about 2 years. I think he's done nothing this year. I don't know if his head was away or what. You could count in your one hand where you would have given him pass marks this year. I think I'm being honest here. Morelos, I know it sounds a bit harsh considering he's Rangers European record scorer, but he's been a liability. Most of the time he's been here, he's been a bit of a liability. He's let down the club so many times over them years. I just can't see it for him. So I'm not too worried about him.
I must admit, I know there were fitness questions over a couple of them actually, so I don't know to what extent they'll be available for there are big emotional farewells, but sort of assuming that they are, and I don't think there's any problem with Alan McGregor. Do you think he does he play tonight, Kenny, to get his farewell, or does he just come on?
Well, he's not going to weaken the team, I don't think, by playing him. So I would definitely play him, 100%. I would play him. Morelos, if he's coming on for a cameo, fair enough. He probably deserves that after 6 years. I mean, he had a couple of good years. Well, he's a few good years, but as I say, to me, he just lets his side down too many times in big games. I mean, I think even against, like, I know he's a great scorer in Europe, but in the big games in Premier League against Celtic, I think, is he two goals?
I think it is.
So that's not a great return. But yeah, Arfield will definitely come on. I don't know if he'll start, but he'll come on. McGregor, I would start him. He's not going to beat the team, is he? Morelos, I mean, give him a run out. I mean, after that Celtic game, he didn't try a leg. I wouldn't give him another Rangers shot.
I mean, the fans are all being urged to sort of stay behind afterwards and pay their farewell. So I don't know. Does take Alan McGregor as an example, just play him tonight.
Sorry, I'd hate to see Kenny when he was really going for somebody. You see there, I'm not. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh on Morelos and then absolutely slaughtered them.
The record European.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I thought he scored over 100 goals, I think, as well. So, but anyway, no, listen, I think, yeah, I mean, it all depends on how Michael Beale sees this type of game tonight. I mean, his record as a manager in terms of wins is outstanding, so he'll want to keep that going. There's no doubt about that. He wants to keep that positivity about the club. We know it's not going to impact anything other than the belief in the players. But I think he might play McGregor. I think he might play Arfield, and you know, Morelos might come on. I think you're right, Hollander. I think Kent are probably both injured. So I think it will be something like that, and there'll be maybe another couple of changes. But listen, I still think that those players deserve to say their goodbyes to the fans, and I think you take over a concerted period of time. They've all made a positive contribution somewhere along the line, and this gives them the ideal opportunity to fans for acknowledge them, and them to acknowledge the support they've had from the supporters as well.
Thank you to Kenny. 01419511025. Don't forget the confirmed signing of Kieran Dowell as well tonight. Big games all across the country with every team in the top flight involved. So pick up the phone and get in touch.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here. 01419511025. I'm sure you all know there are 6 huge games in the Premiership tonight. What you might not know if you're just joining us, breaking news from Ibrox, is that Norwich City's Kieran Dowell has signed on a pre-contract. It will be a 3-year deal that kicks off on July the 1st. So get your thoughts in on that. We're going to speak to Michael, who's a Celtic fan, very soon. But Ollie nipped in just before. Ollie's a Rangers fan. What do you think about tonight, Ollie?
Yeah, I just wanted to address the point about tonight being a bit of a farewell game. And I think I will be pretty annoyed to see any of these players that have their contracts expiring on the field. Even Alan McGregor, who has been just a wonderful keeper for us, I think that we should be using any possible competitive time to be playing McCrory, and we don't have the luxury or the time to be sentimental at Rangers at the moment.
What do you think? Is that worth considering? Or have they learned already about McCrory and can learn again at the weekend?
Yeah, listen, I think Ollie's got his you know, his point, and I think a lot of fans will agree with that, you know, and get a few other younger boys on, give them the competition, particularly when it's against a team like Hearts, you know, who are obviously trying to finishes high up in the league, make sure they finish at least above Hibernian. So that there is a competitive edge to the game, and I think that if you're wanting to try younger players, sometimes at the end of the season that they've nothing to play for, and if it's easier, so I get that side of it. But also I think from the side of, as I think it was Kenny mentioned the other one, somebody like Alan McGregor, I don't think you're going to lose anything by playing him, put that way.
He's still the number one, isn't he? He's actually only not playing to give Robbie McCrory a chance.
Yeah. To me, as I said, I don't think it makes an overall difference to a couple of players. As I said, in particular Arfield and McGregor, that those two I think is fine. Yet there's still plenty of room for other young players to come in if Michael Beale decides to do that.
I think from a player's point of view, I think if Alan McGregor, his time that he served at Rangers has been incredible. But from a selfish point of view, for him, this could be his last ever competitive football game. And for a player, that means everything from the age of 5, 6, 7, whenever you started playing, that means an awful lot to you. So I think it is a game to play an Alan McGregor tonight.
I know what you're saying, Ollie, because it's one of those phrases, isn't it? You know, no room for sentimentality in football, and you say we can't afford the luxury. I wonder if you almost can, though, because there's just not often games of this, dare I say it, meaningless when you're at, you know, the big two in Glasgow. And it's not like you're chucking some, you know, random fifth choice keeper in for a token appearance. It's just Alan McGregor, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I just feel like I want to give McCrory the game time before next season to make sure he's our guy. And another point I wanted to make was I was so surprised to see Arfield on that list, and I was really gutted about that one. I'm hoping it's a decision about freeing up wages, and maybe he was on more wages than we thought for his role. But yeah, I thought that was a bit of a shocker.
It's been a bit of everything, isn't it? You look at tonight, Kieran Dowell's arrived, and I know they're not exact, but Nicholas Raskin and Todd Cantwell still come into the midfield picture. Ryan Jack staying, unless they can do something. Glenn Kamara's under contract. There's talk about José Cifuentes from LA. You just can't do it, can you?
Yeah, and as a player, you're realistic in the match. You have an honest discussion with the manager, and but you know, as you said, Scott's you know still playing. He knows if you look at you know a piece of paper and you write down 8 central midfield players, and you're a central midfield player, and you think, well, there's no way, and the manager has to change it. I mean, we've had callers on here before, Gordon, that says this guy should go and that guy should go, Ryan Jack being one of them, Lindstrom, because they haven't been successful enough. It's time to make a real clean sweep. But there's so many players there, and Scott Arfield, he is popular supporter, there's no doubt about that, and rightfully so. But nevertheless, he wants to play as many games as possible, week in, week out. That is not going to happen at Rangers with, as you say, the new signings. There'll be more to come in, and he goes further back in the pecking order. And wouldn't you want to be Scott Arfield just kind of getting the odd minute, you know, 5 minutes token gesture substitution at the end of the game, Scott?
No, I think as a player, I think Scott Arfield would be sitting there even during the poor form that Rangers were going through at some points during the season, thinking he could make a difference and didn't quite get that opportunity to do so. So I think it probably has been amicable for both clubs. He might be on a high wage, as the caller says, and looking at game time and wages, clubs have a certain structure they want to work from. And Rangers, by the way, obviously announcing it yesterday, and what's coming in the summer, there'll be a lot of big, huge changes coming in the summer.
Yeah. The other thing, Gordon, sorry, is just that, you know, when players are out of contract, it's easier for the managers. You mentioned the likes of Glenn Kamara, and there's maybe one or two others who are under contract. You know, you have to make some sort of negotiation with those players or sell them, one of the two, some sort of, you know, contractual obligation. Whereas if the manager is trying to clear the decks, it's much, much easier if you're out of contract, you know. And I know that we were going a bit earlier on about the sentiment, but that's when you have to take the sentiment to say, listen, I need to clear space here. These guys are under contract, so I can't move them at this moment in time. But Scott Arfield is out, so this gives us a chance to clear the decks.
Yeah, I know there was talk of Scott Wright to Preston, for instance. I saw that today. Michael is on the line. Michael, here's what we'll do. Give you the Celtic team, because that way you can react to it whilst you're hanging on the line. But it's just breaking news, so Gabriel has it for us.
Yes, Gordon, 6 changes from Ange Postecoglou since the weekend's draw against the Saints. You've got Joe Hart, Greg Taylor, Matt O'Reilly, Jota, Dazen Maeda, Kyogo, all dropping out. And in come Bain, Kobayashi, Bernabe, Haksabanovic, and Abada. So the team is as follows. It's Scott Bain in goal, a back four of Tony Roustan, Carl Starfelt, Yuki Kobayashi, and Alexandro Bernabe. Tomoki Iwata gets pushed forward into midfield. Callum McGregor plays in front of him with Reo Hatate, and it's a new front three of Lila Bada, Sayed Haksabanovic, and the bench. Hart, Taylor, Kyogo, Turnbull, Jota, O'Reilly, Maeda, Forrest, and Welsh.
Strong bench, that's for sure. Let's bring in Michael then. Michael, what do you make of that team? A number of changes. Are we changing goal? I think it's the first we've seen of Scott Bain this season. Joe Hart plays every game so far. What do you make of that one?
Don't like Bernabe. Get rid. Joe Hart, I want to get rid. Ralston, get rid of him. Haskabanovic, he's garbage. Don't rate him either. He's another one.
It might be easier to tell us who you do like.
If we didn't have Kyogo for a start, we would be in trouble. Right?
What do you mean in trouble? What type of trouble?
Because do you know something, right? The last four games, do you know something? When certain teams play a certain way, right? I've noticed this about Celtic. They can't handle it. St Mirren got in their faces, right, Gordon? Rangers got in their faces, pal, right? And I'm like, what are you doing?
Is this not recency bias, though, Michael? I mean, you're right in the last two games, but Celtic have won the title, probably win the treble, 96 points. Doesn't sound like they've had too much trouble coming up against teams, no matter how they play.
Celtic fans going on about that game was meaningless at Ibrox. No, it's no. We want to beat Rangers. And the thing is, if you're champions, you play like champions to the very, very end. Because see, to play rank rot in the night, and Saturday against Aberdeen, that'll be a big, big disappointment for me.
Well, Mike was not a happy man. I think that's safe to say. What did you make of that Celtic team? I think the change in goal is interesting just because it's the first time. I mean, Ange Postecoglou has, even in the last couple of weeks, had opportunities to change that, but this is the first time.
Yeah, obviously Scott Bain comes in. He's played a lot of games in the SPFL over a number of years. I think from the outside looking in, it looks like he's trying to rest a lot of players who have played a lot of football this year. Your Callum McGregor's, who probably plays the most, doesn't get left out. But your attacking players are listening. Everybody spoke about the depth and the quality of Celtic squad the whole season. Those players came in and like the caller says about the old firm game, there was chances there to come and show that you're willing to fight for a starting 11 spot, and they haven't taken it. So I think it makes a lot of good points there. So there is guys for next season trying to show that they're wanting to be in the starting 11.
How much of this is the cup final in mind as well, Jim? You can almost see it now because of the games remaining. So on paper, you might look at six changes, experimentation tonight, full strength team at the weekend, and all going well, that team plays the cup final. Is that how it might look?
I think that the cup final, I think most of us will be able to pick 9-10 players anyway. I think when it comes to the cup final, regardless of how these games are,
that's what I mean. It's almost like,
yeah, exactly. It's you're giving some players game time, as Scott said, for reasons. You know, show people that you are, good enough to be part of the squad before Ange Postecoglou then looks to strengthen it again in the summer. But I think Michael's very, very harsh on a lot of the players. I think that likes it all for talking sake, come from a different country, having to play second fiddle to the best player in the country at this moment in time, Kyogo, very difficult. But, give him time. Give the boy a bit of time to come in and settle into it and get more game time. I think similar to Haksabanovic, he doesn't get regular starts because Jota and Maeda are normally the two players. But I think he is a decent player. Abada, as we know, is a terrific goal record for a wide player. I think he's been very harsh. When the title's done and dusted, yeah, you can say what you like about playing right to the end and all that, but when you're a player, you just drop your levels a little bit. It's natural. It happens to everybody, or most teams anyway, and you can almost just kind of see out the regular season. If Celtic then go and beat Inverness, they'll have won the treble.
Yeah, Michael,
I just do not know what Michael is wanting then.
You can't possibly be this negative when there's a treble, so I've got a challenge for you before you go. Who do you like? Tell us who your favourite player is and why.
I love Andrew Johnson, Carter Vickers. I like Ali Labada. I didn't want him to leave Celtic because he's a good wee player. I think he shows more heart. And that meter couldn't hit a barn door at times.
No, see, you've ruined it. You've ruined it. It was all going so well.
That was Joe Hartley said, didn't
it? Honestly, we nearly got there. Then we just... Oh, anyway. All good fun, I think. 01419511025. So, interesting Celtic team. Six changes. Joe Hart in goal. Likes of O playing and Kobayashi.
God, I'm just going to ask you. I know you normally ask us, but... What do you think about the David Turnbull situation there? Because
he's not the guy.
He's not even getting into a team when he's made so many changes. Do you just think he's just a boy that's ready to leave Celtic in the summer? Do you think,
Jim? If you're asking me, would Motherwell take him back? Yes, yes, would be the answer. I think I can say that for sure. Right, let's round off team. Let's get the Hibs team quickly with Gabriel, and then we've got big team news at Ibrox. Who's getting their farewell? But Gabriel first with that Hibs team, since he's given us Celtic already.
Yeah, thanks Gordon. Two changes for Hibernian, perhaps a change of formation as well. Looks like it's a 5-3-2 formation. David Marshall is in goal. A back five of Lewis Miller, Will Fish, CJ Egan-Riley, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. It'll be Jake Doyle-Hayes, Joe Newell and Jimmy Jago in midfield, with Eli Yuan and Kevin Nisbet up top. Substitutes: Johnson, Cabrera, Cadden, Hop, Devlin, Henderson, McCurdy, Campbell and Rocky.
Okay, let's go to Ibrox. Who's getting their farewell from the start? Who has to come off the bench? Who's not getting it at all? Andrew McLean.
Yeah, the question was, is there room for sentimentality? Well, yes, there is. Alan McGregor starts this game. It will be his final competitive appearance at Ibrox, and Alfredo Morelos is in from the start as well. However, Scott Arfield has to settle for a place on the bench. Interestingly, Glenn Kamara, who really hasn't had much of a look in of late, he is in the starting 11. So I'll run through that full Rangers starting 11 for you. It's Alan McGregor in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon King and Ridvan Yilmaz. As the midfield three, John Lundstrom, Glenn Kamara and Nicola Raskin, with Todd Cantwell and Fashion Sakala supporting Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes: McCrory, Hadji, Jack, Matondo, Wright, Barisic, Arfield, Devine and Lowry. As for Hearts, Xander Clark in goal for them. It looks as if Nathaniel Atkinson will be playing at left back for them, so it'll be James Hill, Toby Sibbett, Kai Rolls and Nat Atkinson across the back. Cammy Devlin and Peter Haring, the two holding midfielders. Yutaro Oda and Alan Forrest, the wingers. Lauren Shankland just in behind Josh Ginnelly. The substitutes for them: Stewart, Smith, Grant, Keogh, Halliday, Mackay, Nielsen, Tate and Quall. The referee for this one, John Beaton, the VAR, Willie Collum.
There you are, there is a bit of sentimentality. Rangers fans going along, Scott will be hoping for one last Alan McGregor top drawer save, followed by berating the defence, referees and opposition players around him, and maybe another Morelos goal and knee slide or whatever it is he does afterwards.
Yeah, well, I think what we touched on a bit earlier, it's good to see him probably get that send off that, well, I think they most definitely deserve. I think Arfield maybe a surprise one, maybe thought we might have.
Yeah, I thought you'd been a starter.
An impact player right to the very end of the season. By the looks of it.
Very, very harsh if you ask me.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why Scott Arfield is thinking I've made the right decision here if I can't get a start in this type of game. But Hearts, you know, want to try and make it as competitive as they possibly can. I think that this will be a tough game for Rangers tonight. I can see Hearts maybe nicking a point at Ibrox tonight, because I just think with the changes Rangers have made, and Hearts have got a little bit more to play for. So I think it could be a draw there.
Interesting team news, and we're not done yet. We've not scratched the surface of that relegation battle. So if your team is involved and you're brave enough to tell us how nervous you are, pick up the phone and let us know.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
An hour to kick off then across the Premiership tonight. Every team involved, a full card, a penultimate set of fixtures, and there is a lot happening. We've given you teams from Hibs, Celtic and Rangers Hearts. We will turn our attentions to the relegation battle very soon, but let's bring in Richard in Livingston first, who's a Celtic fan. Richard, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. What's your point tonight?
It was just really my fellow Celtic fan that was on before was pretty much writing off, well, it sounded like nearly the entire squad. And I don't know why there seems to be a panic setting in with some Celtic fans, because we've won the league, we've won the League Cup, hopefully we do a treble. Had a couple of, you know, not great performances in the last few weeks, and I really don't see what the panic is. And I wonder if it's just because Rangers tend to be in the press a lot more. I don't know if it's because of that, but I just don't see there's any panic.
I've no idea. I mean, Rangers, like I've said this the last few nights or last couple of weeks, Rangers rebuild certainly will be in the press a bit more just now, because it's like when you're the chasing pack, it's almost like everyone's looking at you as if to say how you're going to respond. Like Celtic have got two trophies, and it will be three probably, unless Inverness can cause a big upset. So don't think any of that will be taken away, Scott. Are some fans overreacting to the last couple of games?
Yeah, I think when you obviously see Rangers come out in the press, the Old Firm game that Rangers won, it was as good as Rangers has probably played all season. But like Jim says, Celtic have won leagues. Naturally, sometimes you just kind of coast to the end of the season, and then when that big game comes again, next week in the Scottish Cup final. You'll see the Celtic you've probably seen all season. I think just from my point of view would be you're probably a bit disappointed in the squad players that have come in. You may have expected a bit more, but they've not had the game time that other players have had, so naturally the players, fans might be thinking maybe they're not as good as we think they are. But listen, Celtic over the course of the season have been incredible.
I mean, is that fair, Richard? People might still be overreacting, fine, but could the likes of Kobayashi or Haksabanovic or Bernabe, could they be doing with a really strong showing tonight?
I think Kobayashi could do with a decent game. I don't think there's that many of the Suns players that are actually going to go. The only one I would possibly have concern about is Bernabe. But that's only because he's had a lot more game time. I think it's far too early for the rest of them, to be honest. I'm quite happy with Alston, standing at right back. I've not got a problem with him at all. I know some Celtic fans, because the last couple of weeks have, but I don't. I think he's a really, really good player that is more than capable of holding his own in the Scottish Premiership anyway.
Yeah, they are at different stages, I guess. Jim, would, because just simply he's been here the longest, would some Celtic fans be right in hoping to see a bit more from Bernabe soon?
Yeah, I think Bernabe maybe the little one, because he's been there a bit longer. I mean, Kobayashi, Iwata, guys like that, they're the ones that, you know, again, coming from a different country, different culture, these things, it doesn't just click. Some guys, I think people are looking at Kyogo, Maeda perhaps, and everybody gets judged by that, but not everyone settles in. Sometimes players are younger, takes them a little bit longer, that they grow into it. Ante Ralston was one. You mean he went loan, Dundee United, places like that. Didn't he quite click for him? Different managers didn't fancy him. Everybody was always looking for a right back. You had Juranovic in. Alistair Johnson came in, has been immense. I have to say that. What a fantastic signing. But I think Ante Ralston has been a more than capable deputy for him in that time. I think Celtic are that used to winning. I think that's the biggest problem. Nothing to do with Rangers or the publicity or whatever. It's just that Celtic are that used to winning, that used to dominating games. And if you have a mini blip, it gets exaggerated, the performance levels. And I think, as I said, also with the factors that Ange Postecoglou, for by and large over 90-odd% of the season, would keep a real core of the team there. And in the last few games, he's decided to change that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, to almost go back on the question I asked Jim Scott, like, Bernabe has been here longer than Kobayashi certainly, but it's still his first season. He's still only played, I think, is it 27 appearances? Not too many of them will be from the beginning. Is it still early? Is it because the bar was set with guys like Hatate and Kyogo, who make it look like it's no hassle at all to settle?
Yeah, I think the bar has been set by your Kyogos. I don't think any of us expected him to come into Scotland and play as well as soon as he did. I think if you could maybe compare it to how Greg Taylor was in his first season, a lot of Celtic fans didn't think he was good enough, and then this season he's been one of Celtic's standout performers.
Yeah, and he's Scottish and coming from, you know, not having to move country and all that kind of stuff, you know.
He's an extra 10 miles to train.
Exactly, that's all he has to do.
And Anthony Ralston's best form came when he got the longest run in the team, and I think someone was out injured, he provided assists, he defended really well, so that was under a sustained amount of games and being able to settle into the team without probably the pressure of coming in, out, am I going to do well, will I not be in?
So you still think guys like Kobayashi, Richard, you still actually fancy them to come good?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like far too early. I think they've all, like, Kobayashi was good until the Hearts game, I think. I think has shown really good flashes, and I think he'll settle down. I wanted to ask Jim a question, if that was okay.
Of course.
Jim, I was going to ask you, as a manager, if you were the manager of a team that had won the League Cup, won a treble, and the third question in your press conference was, what do you think about what Rangers are doing? How would you feel?
Yeah, he's a director of football now, actually, I think you'll find, Richard. Yeah, if you check the press today.
Yeah, but I think like, you only concern yourself with your own club. You're never concerned about the opposition. And I think it's always a difficult one because it's listen, journalists are obviously have to ask certain questions, and sometimes, you know, mine just get a little bit up with that. But I think that in Ange Postecoglou's case, you know, he's really, and he's stated it from day one, and you've got to completely focused on Celtic. He's got no interest in who Rangers sign or their, you know, development under Michael Beale. He's got no concern of him. It'll only be a concern if Rangers are either above Celtic or breathing down their neck for the whole season. Then there's a real competition. Then he might look at it and think, right, okay, you know, we need to change our game a little bit, or we need to up our game a little bit. But certainly at the moment, I think if you can ever be relaxed as a manager, Ange Postecoglou is as relaxed as you can possibly be.
See, if we're going through all these players, you know, that Richard's kind of full of confidence on most of them, which is, again, I think it's fairly understandable. There's no need to get carried away. What do you think about Haksabanovic? Seems to, I've noticed a few calls recently because he's different in that he's had a lot of games for Celtic this season. Is he more of an impact player? Has he managed to grab his chance from the start yet?
I think he will. I think Ange Postecoglou definitely sees him as an impact player, but it's also hard to judge him in terms of how well Jota has been for Celtic this year. He's in the last 2 years. If Jota's fit, he plays every week. Haksabanovic, what's they play in that same position? Come in off the wings and get on the ball. So it's hard, but if you want to be a successful club, and I think Celtic really want to kick on in terms of the group stages this year, so they need to have players who are going to come in and deputise for these players who are performing week in, week out.
39 appearances this season. It just shows you a couple of things.
But in terms of minutes, though, exactly. Minutes is important.
Celtic play so many games, and you've got the subs rule now as well, so it means you can come on a lot. You wouldn't. The reason I ask for him, because you wouldn't put him in the Kobayashi bracket of like, oh, he's brand new, and we.
Yeah,
but he seems kind of in a middle ground.
I think it's always difficult when players come in at first and they don't hit the ground running for a variety of reasons. In his case, it was injury. You didn't quite hit the ground, and then as Scott says, you've got pretty much automatic starters in Maeda and Jota to start with, and so you're playing second fiddle. You know that you're having to try and wait in these guys. The form either dipping or getting an injury, sadly, or whatever it happens to be, to get a regular run. Bigger clubs now, I think it is harder for players. You know, I really do, because the squads are so strong. As you mentioned, 9 subs. There's usually 2 or 3 guys in the stand that don't even make the bench. So it is difficult. We were talking earlier on about Scott Arfield and not getting game time. These guys eventually, I mean, Celtic obviously had it earlier on, when players leave, when they're not getting game time. Eventually, there'll come a time, whether it's Haksabanovic or anybody else, if they're continually only getting the odd substitute appearance, they'll probably go and say, listen, I want to move on and get myself some regular game time. And that's understandable, even if you are at a big club. But from the manager's point of view, he needs a strong squad. He needs that competition, that competitive edge, because it makes the training competitive. That in turn makes the game competitive, and it keeps his players playing at a high standard.
Andrew McLean is either even more on the ball than I ever dreamed he could be, or he's really bored sitting at Ibrox, because he's just got in touch to tell me that Haksabanovic has 25 Premiership appearances, but only the equivalent of 9.2 90 minutes. He could have left out the 0.2. Nobody would have bothered. 9.90 minutes.
That's what I mean. It's really hard to judge a player on that. And that could be, you're saying 9.90 minutes, it could be one every month. You know what I mean? You just don't
exactly
know. So it's. Pre-season is going to be huge for a lot of these players.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Richard. It was nice to speak to you, and it's time already for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. I'll let you in on a bit of a secret, right? One of these two only get back from Ibiza yesterday, so you've got a huge no prizes for guessing which one, by the way, so you've got every chance to try and take advantage of that. Jim Duffy will tell us all about it after the news. It's 01419511025, and you must call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Getting closer to those big kickoffs tonight. Hibs against Celtic, we've given you the teams. Rangers Hearts, we've given you the teams. The real meaningful ones, those are meaningful for Hibs and Hearts, of course. But Aberdeen St Mirren, huge. in the race for Europe as well. Dundee United, Kilmarnock United could be relegated tonight technically, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll give you team news there. Livy, Motherwell, maybe not so much riding on that one. And Ross County, St Johnstone, huge as well. So we'll give you team news and everything you need to know about some of the others very soon. But let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's it been going this week? Gordon Dale lost last night, so it means we've got a bit of life from the listeners. I think we had a Marvin one this week as well, so it's level. 1-1, 1-1 in the game so far. Darren is a Kilmarnock fan tonight. How's it going, Darren?
Hey, it's all good, just on the way of the game.
Is this how you plan on putting your pre-game nerves to one side by playing Beat the Pundit?
No, not really. I've just run out of drink.
Well, listen, please drink responsibly. I think it's the only message I have for you. How are you feeling about the game tonight?
I think we win and Ross County lose and we stay up.
Well, he's made it sound very simple. Can you do it? Obviously, away form has been tough, hasn't it, this year? Can you go up to Tannadice and win tonight?
Of course we can.
Yeah. Are you going to the game, by the way? Are you in some sort of local establishment in Dundee?
No, I'm on a bus.
On the bus. So you've got about 40 people helping you?
47, I think.
Good. I like it. I like your style. Right, anyway, before this gets out of hand, and if you guessed correctly, it was Scott Allen, it wasn't Jim Duffy, who was just back from Ibiza. Can't believe it. See the difference between you two. The world's only teetotaler from Maryhill and a man who's just spent the week in Ibiza. I know who.
Excuse
I'd rather
me, you, don't you be ridiculing Maryhill. You're made of a cute side, your daughter.
I'm just saying you're one of a kind. That was all I was getting at. I wouldn't dare. Right, heads it will be Jim Duffy, tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is heads. You're off. Look at the relief on his face. Oh, not a chance he was getting any of these right. Anyway, right, Darren, I'll give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yes, boss.
Let's go. Who's the only player announced to be leaving Rangers who's not played a game this season?
Hallander.
Who were the last side that Celtic beat in the league?
Hearts.
Which Scottish Championship team did St Johnstone face in last year's playoffs?
Dundee.
Which Scotland manager gave Stuart Armstrong his first senior cap?
Dundee United.
Before Hibs, who are the only team Darren McGregor played with in the Scottish Premiership? Who was the Dundee United boss at the start of this season?
Jack Ross.
Okay, let's bring back Jim Duffy. Can you hear us?
That was loud. That was about a meatloaf. That was belting out.
Is that not up your street, no?
That's all right. Don't mind. It was loud.
Right, same set of questions, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the only player announced to be leaving Rangers who's not played a game this season?
Philip Hallander.
Who were the last side that Celtic beat in the league?
Livingston.
Which Scottish Championship team did St Johnstone face in last year's playoffs?
Inverness.
Which Scotland manager gave Stuart Armstrong his first senior cap?
Stevie Clark.
Before Hibs, who are the only team Darren McGregor played with in the Scottish Premiership?
Darren McGregor. Dundee United.
Who was the Dundee United boss at the start of this season?
Jack Ross.
Which current English Premier League side did Neil Lennon join after leaving Celtic as a player?
Current Premier League team, Leicester City.
Okay, Darren, how do you think it went?
Draw, player.
Well, let's find out. Philippe Hallander, you both got... Celtic beat Hearts, didn't they, to win the league? Darren got
okay,
it.
Yeah,
well done. Darren went Hearts or something along those lines. We did get it. Right. So it's 2-1. Equaliser, Jim Duffy, though. St Johnstone played Inverness. Mm-hmm. I find it really hard to remember who was in the playoffs for some reason. But we're level. None of you knew the Scotland manager who gave Armstrong his cap.
Levine.
Strachan, it was. Mm-hmm. None of you got it. Darren McGregor's only Scottish Premiership side, apart from Hibs, it was St Mirren. So we played with Rangers in the Championship. Yeah. Yeah. So we're one up to...
No, it's level.
Oh, is it level?
Oh, I don't know if Darren got that.
Oh, Darren got St Mirren. Sorry, Darren. Sorry.
The bus got that.
So who was the Dundee United manager at the start of the season? It was Jack Ross. Are we giving that to Darren? Producer Chris...
What did he say? Did he say Jack Ross or no?
He sort of said Jim Jack Ross.
Jim Ross.
Right, Darren, we're going to the tiebreaker. Blame producer Chris. We're going to the tiebreaker. Are you ready?
No way.
You did say Jim though, didn't you?
I was going to
see, exactly right. I think you let this guy get back to the bar. He definitely said Jim. So we'll go to the tiebreaker. I'll read the question. I'll get Jim to write his answer down, and I'll then invite Darren and the crew to give me their attempt. Are we ready?
Okay.
How many games have Alan McGregor, Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent, Scott Arfield and Philip Hollander played this season combined?
This season.
McGregor, Morelos, Kent, Arfield, Hollander. How many have they played this season
combined?
Is it
starts or just...
Just played.
Right, played.
Right, Jim, show me your paper quickly. And Darren, what would your attempt be?
74.
Okay, 74 says Darren. 100 says Jim. Nice round number. Well, Hollander's played none, we know that. McGregor's 35, Arfield 41. They're counting up. It's 164. So Jim Duffy takes it on the tiebreaker. Hard lines, Darren.
That's
my order. I hope your team has better luck in front of goal tonight, Darren.
We'll
see. Thank you very much, Darren. Somewhere on a bus between Kilmarnock and Dundee. I hope they're nearly there. That'll be running late. But anyway, thank you very much.
Could be by Perth by now, surely.
Well, you'd like to think so. But the sign ball stays here. So well done, Jim Duffy. Kept your cool on the tiebreaker. I was worried about that.
I would have been fine on that.
Would you? Aye. Easy to say that, though, the pressure's
on. I know, exactly. You're standing there relaxed.
Exactly. The suntan. Suntan. Got a care in the world, does he? This guy.
Looking like a male model.
Honestly. How was it? Was it good?
It was absolutely average.
Just average.
Nah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Really,
and back into pre season. That's the most annoying phrase that you footballers ever come out with, by the way. But are you doing that stuff already?
Yes, already, of course.
Good. And I like how they all put it on their Instagram just to show all the fans, Jim, that they're putting in the hard yards before actual pre season starts back.
So running from one pub to another pub, is that what they say?
Exactly. I'll go to sun-kissed destinations and do it now. Well, that's what he used to do anyway. I don't know now that he's at a pro if he's having to rein that in.
Yeah, listen, a couple of good caravan sites up there, you can, you know, spend a lovely holiday.
You have had a change of role, Jim Duffy. We alluded to this earlier with one of the previous callers. So obviously the season ended in disappointment in the playoffs. What was that like? And it was now announced today that you'll actually take up more of a director of football role at Clyde.
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult, obviously, when you get to the very last games. And, you know, two things for us, you know, you want to have all your players available, and sadly that wasn't the case. And then we got an awful lot of injuries in the last game as well. But you've got to, as I said before, you've got to credit Annan did really, really well right throughout the campaign. You know, and I wish Peter all the best. But obviously, I spoke to the club a couple of weeks ago, and then we wanted to wait until it was all done and dusted. And I think it's time that, you know, like somebody like myself can maybe look at different, you know, aspects of you know, restructuring a club, look at all aspects of the football side. Listen, we know that finance plays a major part in that, and we don't have a lot of money, but you know, I still want to be involved, you know, in the development of the team, you know, the structure of the football club, and we'll bring in a new, you know, young coach. As I said, I don't like really using the term mentor. I think just guidance. I'll have a bit of guidance and how long that lasts will obviously depend on a number of things, but we've only got two signed players. You know, we're going to have to find a whole complete squad.
So many fans in Scotland won't see that side of it. You've got two players for next season.
Yeah.
And when's the first Via Play Cup game?
That'll be the middle of July. Pre-season will start middle of June. So, you know, you're having to put that. So that, to me, that's part of the thing of being, say, director of football, call it whatever title you like. But then if I can try and deal with that, the coach can then look to try and, you know, galvanise the team and get the team together and, you know, blend the team and get them into a style and we're playing all these kind of things, because it's going to be really tough. So it's just really to try and help, you know, take away some of that aspect of it for a young coach coming in. And then, as I say, to give him a bit of guidance as it goes, and we'll see how much of a connection I have with the team on a daily basis, but on a weekly basis, or whether I gradually just kind of move away from that.
Look, maybe there is no conclusion to be drawn, but what I've noticed, everyone will have noticed this season, and I don't know what this says about, you know, like upward trajectory, downward trajectory, momentum. So far, the lower ranked team has won all the playoffs, you know. So Spartans beat Albion Rovers, unfortunately for Jim Annan, beat Clyde, and Airdrie beat Hamilton Accies. I don't know if that's some sort of omen for the Premiership, because I know this stuff's been said before, but, you know, do you think that are we starting to see that play a bit of a part? You know, teams that are ultimately having their a good season, they feel like they're on the up.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what's happening. I think, I mean, obviously, Airdrie, you know, a fantastic season last season as well, very consistent as well. But I think that, listen, you still need a wee element of good fortune to fall your way. Airdrie scored, I think, in the 91st minute, so you still need a little bit of good fortune. But Annan, as I said, as you say, winning games, scoring goals, they get into that kind of with the belief. Partick Thistle, obviously, I mean, a fantastic result against Queen's Park. You know, they scored 11 goals in three playoff games. So finding goal scoring, finding your form right at the end of the season is very difficult, and they've managed to do that. Akinyemi missing is a big blow for United, no doubt about that. But they'll have to throw everything at it on Friday night down at Somerset. I think it'll be a fantastic atmosphere down there. Thistle will be huge favourites. And then whoever play Partick Thistle, you know, whatever Premier League team plays them, I think they'll find that a very tough tie, because Thistle are absolutely fine if they manage to overcome Air United.
Just trying to iron out one of two difficulties at Tannadice, but we'll bring you team news very soon. Let's bring in Walter, who's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Walter?
How are you doing, Gordon?
All good here. What are you thinking tonight then in terms of these farewells and the goodbyes? Is that what tonight's all about?
It's just to say goodbye, obviously, the players that have done what they've done. It's kind of the team I expected. I thought Arfield would maybe start over Kamara. I did expect McGregor to come in and probably Morelos as well. But I think Arfield will come on at some point and get the farewell he deserves. Done a lot for the club, obviously, the time he's been there, been a fan favourite for the start. And also McGregor, over these two spells, I don't know how anybody could say a bad word about him. But no, just looking forward to it.
You know, it's funny, I think, particularly because it's Kent Morelos, you know, so much debate, so much said about them, and we had a fan on earlier, kind of not too complimentary about the way it's ended. Do you think it's one of those that when, in fact, it won't apply to Kent tonight because he's not involved, but when you're there and you're actually in the stadium and you've paid your money to go, and he'll get a good reception, won't he, at the end?
Yeah, I would expect so, just for the amount of goals he scored for the Rangers, that European goal scoring record that we've spoke about all night. That is an incredible achievement and a good payback considering the transfer fee that they paid for him. So I fully expect the Rangers fans to give him a good send off, and I'd expect he wants to go out with a bang as well with a few goals or so. So absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a difficult one when players have been there for 5 years or more. They've played a significant number of games. Everyone's got their opinions on whether somebody's successful or not successful, but they did help Rangers to that title win under Steven Gerrard, and I think that should never be forgotten if you're a Rangers fan. I don't think it will be, and I think that's where ultimately their legacy will be judged, because that was so important, you know, to stop Celtic in 10 in a row. So from the Rangers' point of view, those type of players were instrumental. Where those players were instrumental in that happening, and I think that'll still be where they're holding the highest regard amongst the fans.
I mean, Walter, this tonight maybe sums a lot of it up. We're talking about five leaving, farewells, and Kieran Dowell's been announced as a new signing tonight. I don't know, I'm assuming there may be plans for, is he going to be at Ibrox or to do the big waving to the crowd or whatever, I'm not sure. I don't know if you know much about him. What do you make of the business being done so early?
I'm glad that it's getting done early. And as far as the transfers go, I've just got to trust Beal, because he's only made two signings in Raskin and Campbell, and they've probably been our best two players since they've came in. So as far as that goes, we can only trust him with that and see what happens. But no, I'm glad that it's getting done early. Hopefully a few more in the next couple of weeks or so. Try and get all our business done early in the summer so we can really kick on next year, because, I mean, statistically, if you look at the league was already lost before he came in. He's done well since he came in. Maybe learned one or two things for the Celtic games that could have been done different, but that hopefully will be better next year and we can kind of push forward for these new signings.
Yeah, apparently he is at Ibrox, but he won't be paraded as such, which is, I always feel it can be a bit unfair. You know, unless a player's a real household name, it just can be a weird dynamic. I'm not saying the Rangers fans won't welcome him, but you know what I mean?
It's like when you're at Real Madrid and you get one of the Galacticos and you go and there's like 30,000 people just to see them in a Tuesday morning or something like that. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a difficult one, but But the fact that Todd Cantwell, in particular from Norwich, has done really, really well, engaged with the Rangers fans and playing well. And I think when Kieran Dells comes in, people were looking right, can he make a similar sort of impact coming from the same team? And, you know, obviously the style of football that Norwich had played, particularly under Daniel Farker initially. And then obviously Raskin, as Walter said there, has been very good. So, yeah, I mean, the more success you have in that recruitment side and coming in and improving Rangers, but they still need, you know, four or five other players in key areas, in my opinion, that will allow them to kind of close the gap on Celtic. Again, that's where Celtic are at the moment. Ange Postecoglou has said that they will strengthen again as well. So, it's trying to, shorten that gap or narrow that gap isn't always as simple as just bringing in players.
Ever been paraded?
I have, yes. I have. Was it Celtic?
Was it? Yeah. I feel like I had that in the back of my head, but I wasn't sure if I just made it up. What was the game?
They played Inverness at home. It was just standard. Came out before the game. I got a good cheer, to be honest. So yeah. I was really nervous before why, that one.
So that was the cheer you got at Celtic.
I wonder why that was such a popular one at the time. I didn't need to keep you uppies or anything. Is that a strictly Spanish
keep
thing?
Keep you uppies not my forte either.
I like that. It's always like some big centre half who just looks so uncomfortable doing it. But anyway, there we are. Thank you to Walter, who's looking ahead to that game tonight between Rangers and Hearts. Going to give you team news because there are huge relegation games tonight. We'll do the team news for them next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Lots of team news to bring you from three big games certainly to come. We've already given you a couple of other heads up from the games involving Rangers and Celtic. Before I do anything, I'll set up tonight's teaser. And it's been sent in all the way from China. Chris, you two are worldwide superstars, quite clearly. So Chris in China has sent it in, and he says, this is a bit of a tribute to Alan McGregor, and that's why we'll use it tonight, right? Because he's involved. So Alan McGregor and Joe Hart aside, can you name 11 other goalkeepers who've played in the Champions League group stages for Rangers or Celtic since 2000? So since 2000-2001 season.
Scott Bain?
11 other goalkeepers apart from the current two of McGregor and Hart.
Since when?
2000-2001. So
Klaus.
Stefan Klaus is one, well done.
David Marshall.
Uh-huh.
Charbonnet.
No.
Letizia.
Nope. You're running out.
I say Scott Bain.
Nope, not the Champions League groups.
There's David Marshall one, yeah.
So you've got Klaus and Marshall so far.
Ronald Waterhouse.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there and we'll try and get the rest. So if you take out Hart and McGregor, the current first choices, can you name the 11 other goalies who've played in the Champions League group stages for Celtic or Rangers since 2000-2001? You've done quite well to start. Klaus, David Marshall and Ronald Vatterus. We will get the rest very soon indeed. Right, let's get team news from some of the games that have knock-on effects at the bottom. So Ross County against St Johnstone. Remember, if Ross County win that and Killy go to Dundee United and win, Dundee United will be relegated tonight. So Liam Ross has the team news ahead of County against St Johnstone.
Huge night at the Global Energy Stadium as the Staggies look to use their last home game of the regular season to steer away from relegation danger. County with an initiative tonight, giving some ticket holders the chance to bring a friend for free with the hope a big crowd will land a vital result. For St Johnstone, Saturday's win secured their Premiership status, but Stephen McLean says there's no easing up. So to team news, and Ross County make two changes to the team that lost 1-0 at Motherwell on Saturday. They line up with Laidlaw in goals, Watson, Baldwin and Smith in defence, Randall, Kenna, Laturi, Harmon and Danda in midfield, with Murray and White up front. For the Saints, it's just one change to the starting 11 that beat Kilmarnock, with Ross Sinclair in goals and making his first start of the season. It's Brown, Gordon, Considine, Montgomery making up defence. In midfield, there's Wright, McPherson, McGowan, Carey and Ballantyne, with Stevie May up front.
Looking forward to that one, certainly. Let's do teams ahead of Aberdeen against St Mirren. There was a lot of pre-match questions whether the man of the moment, Curtis Main, would make it. Finlay Jack has the teams.
A win for the Dons would go a long way to securing European group stage football for the first time since 2007. 3 points this evening, coupled with a Hearts draw or loss at Ibrox, would guarantee Aberdeen third place. They'd then just need a favour from Celtic in the Scottish Cup final to earn a Europa League playoff spot. Duke is back leading the line with Bojan Miotski, and Graham Shinney returns from that controversial four-match suspension that was extended from 3 games after the club failed an appeal at his red card against Ross County last month. Ross McCrory also returns at right wing-back. Standing in their way is St Mirren, who will be desperate to pip Hibs to fifth place and potentially earn their own European adventure. Unsurprisingly, Stephen Robinson names an unchanged team after holding champion Celtic to a 2-2 draw on Saturday. Curtis May netted a brace, as he did last time these sides met at Pittodrie. Expect a thriller tonight. Both teams have scored in all 3 meetings this season, which have each featured a red card and at least 4 goals.
Guaranteed action then. I don't know about that, but Curtis Main being available, don't know how fit he is, but he's certainly available to play. Just how big is that for St Mirren?
That's huge. I mean, obviously, in the way that Stevie Robinson sets up his team, he's been pivotal. You know, as he said, he's not a prolific goal scorer. I know he scored 2 against Celtic and was unlucky, you know, he got a hat trick, but generally speaking, it's just about leading the line. You know, he stretches defenders, he puts them under pressure, he creates space for other players, he triggers the press. Listen, he's been immense for Stevie Robinson and for St Mirren, and I think it's a huge boost that, you know, because the Aberdeen defenders will know they'll not get a minute's peace. They can't just kind of relax and switch off tonight, because they know, you know, he's going to give them absolute 100%, you know, from his perspective. So, yeah. A great boost for St Mirren.
It's massive, that, isn't it, Scott? You look at what's at stake there. So if Aberdeen win, and they'll be, again, let's throw that out the window, that you don't look at other results. They'll know Hearts are going to Ibrox. They'll think, you know, maybe if Hearts lose that one, that would open up an unassailable gap in third place for Aberdeen over Hearts. It would cap off what Barry Robson set out to do. So, and then at the other end of the equation, St Mirren are trying to make moves and ultimately get into one of those European places.
Yeah, I think starting off with Aberdeen there, when you look at what Barry Robson's done and the job that was in hand when he came in, Aberdeen weren't in such a bad place when Jim Goodwin sacked. But what Barry Robson's done has been incredible. If they finish third, and you know, I can't remember off the top of my head what the figure is for every position in the league. So St Mirren looking to close the gap in Hibs as well. So
it'll be Europe,
so much
now. It should, you know, if the cup goes the way people expect it to, fifth place would be Europe, and then third is the one you really want for the big money, because it's, you're talking £6 million for guaranteed group stage football. So
yeah, massive. I mean, listen, it's just massive, particularly in Scottish football. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of the bigger English clubs also sometimes don't quite, you know, have that relevance of importance in these type of things. But in Scotland, it's massive. The only thing I hope is whoever gets in does a bit better than they normally do in the early stages. There just seems to be one of those things where it's almost like once we're in, that'll do us. And they never really prepare properly. You know, they've not got themselves organised and ready to compete when the game's come.
I think the Motherwell one at the start of this season was a real disappointment.
Wasn't
the
Sligo
game, just to throw that in there.
Because for a while people used to reference Kilmarnock's Connors Key or whatever it was, but now I think now Motherwell's the example they use. And Hearts got, I mean, Hearts obviously got the guaranteed group stage, and they got a tough group, didn't they? You do see the standard at that level.
And also they were battered by injuries at that stage of the season as well. You know, you get into these type of games, you need your best players available, particularly your defenders, and they were shifting people all over the place. And I actually felt for Robbie Nielsen. I actually do think that lingered over him a little bit, even though they were doing quite well in the league. Mm-hmm. When it came to the decision making, I think people brought that up a little bit, you know, how disappointing the European campaign it was.
Well, one team who were in Europe at the start of the season, but the season is about to end in an entirely different fashion, would be Dundee United. Remember that combination of results, which means they could technically be relegated tonight. If Kilmarnock go to Tannadice and win, and that's coupled with Ross County beating St Johnstone and Dingwall, it would be the end of the Premiership status for now for Dundee United. It's been a poor season no matter what happens, really, but they will look to survive. Dave Galloway is looking ahead to that one.
Well, to say there's tension in the air at Tannadice tonight, Gordon, would be a big understatement, with Dundee United's top flight status hanging by a thread. Opinions mixed among the Tangerines fans I spoke to earlier, ranging from confidence to given up. The fate of Jim Goodwin's side remains in their own hands, despite their perilous position propping up the Premiership to the teams then. And plenty changes for both lineups. Dundee United have Newman, Graham, Pollitt and Fletcher in for Birigiti, Middleton, Behich and McLeod. So they will line up Newman in goals at the back, Aina, Mulgrew and Graham. Midfield, Niskanen, Sibbald, Harkes and McMahon, with Pollitt and McGrath playing off Fletcher up top. The subs, Birigiti, June, Edwards, Middleton, Levitt, Freeman, Fotheringham, Thompson and McLeod. As for Kilmarnock, well, five changes for them. In come Taylor, Stokes, McKenzie, Lyons and Polworth. Out drop Wright, Dorset, Watson, Donnelly and McKenzie. It's Walker in goals, three at the back for them also, Mayo, Taylor and Stokes. They've got five in midfield, Armstrong, Lyons, Chambers, Polworth and McKenzie, with the twin strike force of Doidge and Vassell. The subs, Hemming, Dorset, Power, Alston, Jones, Sanders, Murray, Robinson and Cameron. The referee is Alan Muir, and here at sunny Tannadice, VAR is Stephen McLean.
Scott Allen, a club you know well, Dundee United. It could all come down to tonight. They'll be hoping, as Dave says, it is in their own hands, so they have a way out if they can find the performances.
Yeah, they need to win tonight, there's no question about that. There's so much on the line. I know I touched on it at the start, but looking at them at the start of the season and the quality they've got in that team, to see them at the bottom of the league, it really is incredible. And it shows you, if you're not on it, you can be punished. So it doesn't get much bigger than this for Dundee United tonight. They'll be looking for their fans to back them all the way, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing the game.
Stephen Fletcher, Jim, there were talks that the season was over. He's been deemed fit to play. Again, I don't know if it's patched up emergency scenario, but he's there, which is obviously a boost.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it depends on how fit he is. I mean, he's not somebody that's sprinting about the pitch. We know that. He brings players into play. His experience, he's terrific in the air. We know. Again, you know, we're talking about Curtis Mayne earlier, in the sense of pressing people, but in terms of, being a focal point, I think that's what he is more. And also, I think his, you know, calmness at times and another game appreciation can make other players play a little bit. So I think it's more a psychological boost that he's in the team, but only if he's fit enough, to play at a decent level. There's always a risk there.
And this has come up a few times on the show recently. History tells you the team that goes down in the Scottish Premiership tends to have had problems in goal during that season. It's just they go hand in hand. And Scott, Dundee United would be a great example. Birigiti's had a torrid time at certain moments. He's been left out tonight, and Jack Newman has come in. He's only played twice.
It's huge pressure.
And one of those was a 4-0 defeat against Dundee United, which came against Ross County, sorry, which came just after the time that Birigiti got tackled into the net, remember?
Yeah.
And that was the reaction the next week, was to play Jack Newman, and now he's back in. It just doesn't strike you as a secure scenario.
It's a huge call from Jim Goodwin, though, and I think it basically shows you how poor Birigiti's been all season. And it's a funny one. Jason Cummins played with him at Central Coast Manors last year, and I remember he came and I'd asked him. He said he was really good. He'd played for Australia, but he's came and he's obviously not settled. He's not performed well. Mm-hmm. To any standard, to be honest, but to throw in
that's a big decision.
One and a bit appearances, because he replaced Birigiti when he went off with the bruised eagle or whatever it was after the Stevie May tackle.
Huge call though, but it does show you what Jim Goodwin thinks of Birigiti.
He's had 95 minutes of action this season. He's 21 years of age. Apparently he was pretty good at Peterhead by all accounts in his loan spell, but
yeah, I just think we talk about managers having to make tough calls at pivotal moments, and I think Jim Goodman will stand or fall by this one. Yeah. You know, if the young boy does well, people will say what a decision that is, and a big decision the manager's made, and a big call. If he folds a little bit under the pressure, people will say you should never have done it. Yeah. So yes, a huge call from Jim, and you know, but he knows the boy and he's worked with him and he's maybe had a chat with him, so he knows
that's
him better
as big a calls it gets though at this stage of the season.
Let's bring in John quickly before kick-off. John, what's your point on the Celtic team tonight?
Hi guys. I just think that team tonight, I heard Jim saying about David Turnbull. I think this is like, I think it just makes that he's not got a future under Ange, just near I do. They've made six changes, and the guy's not even on the team. Just what the guy think.
Does it suggest the end of the road or a player that would look to move on in the summer?
Yeah, I think from a personal point of view for David Turnbull, I think he'll be looking at that, not given the opportunity since the league's been wrapped up and not playing tonight. He'll be looking like he needs to go and play games, because I think David Turnbull's got great quality. It might just not be the fit now with Ange there, but there's no question he's got a lot of ability. He can see a pass, he can score a goal, so he'll probably be looking to get away in the summer, I'd imagine.
I mean, tonight, to be fair, Jimmy, look, although there's changes, McGregor and Hatate have stayed in, and Ange Postecoglou doesn't like to deviate too much, but you take look over the body of work this season, it tells you he doesn't get the nod to start many games anymore.
No, but it's you know, we're saying there, you know, if he's not going to start tonight, you know, when you've made those, like Sir McGregor, you'd think you could rest McGregor, rest Hatate. You just don't see how he's going to force his way into a regular play. And again, they will strengthen perhaps even in that area again in the summer. I think he's good enough to actually play in the English Premier League. I do, David Turnbull. I think, you know, before Ange came in, he was Celtic's best player, voted Celtic's best player in a very difficult season. I think you know, he's got a lot of qualities. I think playing the right team with the right style, I think he can play definitely at the very highest level. I'm not saying the top six Premier League team or top eight possibly, but when I see the likes of Stuart Armstrong and down and guys like that, Christy, and playing and Brighton and Christie, I think David Turnbull is in that bracket.
Thank you, John. Sorry it was short and sweet, but we need to go back around the grounds after Lee's kickoff coming thick and fast.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here, 0141 951 1025. About to go around the grounds again very quickly, you two. We asked you for, on your teaser tonight, apart from Alan McGregor and Joe Hart, can you name the 11 other goalkeepers who've played in the Champions League group stage for Celtic or Rangers since 2000-2001? You've given me Klaus, Marshall and Vatterus.
Rob Douglas,
yes.
Neil Alexander
is not one, not in the Champions League.
Craig Gordon?
Yep.
Doris De Vries?
Yes, you'll remember that.
Barcelona. Fraser Foster?
Yep.
I'm going to say, I can't remember if I see his name. I'm sure he was Danish for Rangers, Jess, or Christensen.
That's the one, well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. That's a good shout. You've only a couple more to go. Let's go back around the grounds then. We'll go to Hibs against Celtic and speak to Gabriel.
Thanks, Gordon. Ange Postecoglou has rung the changes here in Sunny Lee. Darren McGregor just walking onto the park now. He will be retiring at the end of the season, not in the squad today, just waving a goodbye to all of the fans that have seen him play. A hero here in Leith, lifting the Scottish Cup back in 2016. But let's get back to today's game. As I said, six key players dropping to the bench for Celtic. The Australian looks to keep the entire squad on their toes ahead of the Scottish Cup final next weekend, when they have the chance to complete the treble. And what an opportunity for those players who've been selected to fight for a starting place at that game at Hampden in 10 days' time. Quickly, let's get to the team news then. Six players out: Hart, Taylor, O'Reilly, Jota, Maeda and Kyogo. They have been rested. The team is as follows. In goal, Scott Bain for the first time this season. A back four of Tony Ralston, Carl Starfelt, Yuki Kobayashi and Alexandro Bernabe. Callum McGregor, Reo Itate and Tomoki Iwata in midfield, with Leal Abada, Sead Haksabanovic and O up top. Substitutes: Hart, Taylor, Kyogo, Turnbull, Jota, O'Reilly, Maeda, Forrest and Welsh. What a strong bench, and still plenty to play for Hibs as well, who are fighting for European football. A result tonight would be huge for them. They're currently fifth, and they may have to settle for that if they can't get anything here. Two changes to them and a change of formation as well. It's a 5-3-2. David Marshall is in goal. It's a back five of Lewis Miller, Will Fish, CJ Egan-Riley, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. Jake Doyle-Hayes, Joe Newell and Jimmy Jago, the midfield three. Eli Yuan is up top with Kevin Nisbet. Could it be his final game here at Easter Road? The referee is Kevin Clancy, and on the bar, Andrew Dallas.
And what about the other game then, looking for Rangers against Hearts with Andrew McLean?
Yeah, well, the players just making their way out the tunnel here at Ibrox, and it will be a final competitive appearance at Ibrox for Alan McGregor and Alfredo Morelos. Certainly those two is there in the starting lineup. They step onto that Ibrox pitch, come out the tunnel in a competitive game for the final time. A 502nd Rangers appearance it'll be for Alan McGregor. He'll return in the summer for his testimonial, but this will mean a lot to Alan McGregor, who we all know he wears his heart on his sleeve. He loves this club,
It will certainly be emotional as he says goodbye to this crowd tonight. And Alfredo Morelos, he'll be hoping to sign off with a goal, 124 for him in Rangers colours. Hearts are one of his favourite opponents as well, 12 goals in 15 appearances against them. He's never lost to Hearts in those 15 games either. You'd expect to see Scott Arfield off the bench at some point as well. He was being applauded on his way down the tunnel after his pre-match warm-up. And then at the end of the game, Ryan Kent and Philip Hylander, they'll join those three on the pitch for a final farewell to this Rangers crowd. It is a massive game for Hearts as well. They'll be hoping St Mirren can do them a favour at Pittodrie and that they can go into the final day of the season with a shot at third spot. Stephen Naismith also trying to build his case to get this job on a permanent basis. I'll read you the starting lineups. It's Alan McGregor in goal for Rangers. The back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon King and Ridvan Yilmaz. The midfield three, John Lundstrom, Glenn Kamara and Nicholas Raskin. Todd Cantwell and Fashion Sakala supporting Alfredo Morelos for Hearts. Sander Clark in goal. The back four, James Hill, Toby Sibbett, Kai Rolls and Nathaniel Atkinson. The two holding midfielders, Cammy Devlin and Peter Haring. It's Yutaro Oda, Lauren Shankland and Alan Forrest in behind Josh Ginelli. And simply the best flaring round Ibrox at the moment. Tina Turner has actually died today at the age of 83, so maybe fitting that this song is playing at the moment. But the ball is on the centre spot and we are almost ready to go at Ibrox.
Yes, looking ahead, and there we are, as Andrew McLean quite rightly says. I didn't expect those two pieces of news to collide tonight, but there we are. Sad passing of Tina Turner at the age of 83, as that song was ringing out, as it always does as the teams come out of the pit, of the tunnel, at Ibrox. So we're underway. I usually give this the big build up and we ask for your pre-match predictions. There's not loads riding on it for Celtic and Rangers, but for the other teams there certainly are. So what are you thinking then? Predict these two for me first of all.
Well, as I said earlier on, I think that Hearts will make it difficult for Rangers tonight. I mean, Michael Beale's record has been terrific, but I just think Hearts have just got a little bit more, you know, reason to maybe try and go for it tonight, and that might be a share of the spoils for me there. I still think Celtic's got far too much quality for Hibernian, and I just don't think, I mean, looking at the way they played against Rangers, I think Rangers won comfortably 3-0 at the weekend, and I can see Celtic winning relatively comfortably tonight. I think it'll be by two goals or more.
I'm going to go with Rangers tonight. I think Hearts will probably feel confident getting into the game and maybe press on to Rangers. I think Rangers will hit them in the break. I still think Rangers have got a lot more quality than
it's funny
than
that when teams go, oh, and I'll tell you what, we've got a goal for Hearts already. Goodness. Scott Allen's the worst tipster since Hugh Keevans. It is Lauren Shankland, unless they're looking
it's
for
offside.
The flag is up. There we are. You've been given a reprieve.
VAR
will check it. I actually wonder if it had hit a hand in there as well. It was bouncing around all over the place. It was an offside flag. We know that's not always the end of it, but it was a long throw from Hill, headed on, up in the air. I mean, trying to sort of go around it. I'll tell you what,
it's not offside, that's for sure.
What's
if that's the case,
what's the flag? Handball?
Nah, it's never offside. It's not even
hold
close.
Hold on though, that second touch off Ginelli.
I think it hits a hand at Lauren Shankland.
No, the second touch off Ginelli is Alan McGregor's beyond him by that point.
Yeah.
That might still be offside.
Yeah, it might be true, but I don't think he was, actually. I don't think Alan McGregor was. But in saying that, I think it hits the hand of Lauren Shankland.
It's an offside flag that goes up, right?
So, McGregor.
So if so.
But Ginelli,
not this one. So Shankland headers it.
Right.
Okay, so at this point, when Ginelli touches it, is he beyond McGregor?
I don't know if he is.
I think that's what's going to do it. And I'll tell you what, it won't be a quick check because they're going to have to. There's going to be lines all over that.
So I go back to my prediction.
Is Willie Collum a VAR guy?
I think Rangers will win the game. I think Celtic will have too much for Hibs.
I tell you, it's a really it's an intricate one, that as well. There's a few things to consider there, and then the lines will get plotted on. So we'll see. I'll update you at midnight when they eventually reach a decision. As interesting as those games are, what about the ones that involve? Well, quickly, Aberdeen St Mirren. Who's going to win that one?
Again, it's a goal.
It's a goal.
See, Gordon.
See, always listen to experience. That's the difference, honestly. Should never doubt
him. There you go.
Lauren Shankland has Hearts 1-0.
By the way, can I just say about Lauren Shankland? I mean, his goals this season have been fantastic. And, you know, he wasn't even literally mentioned for any of the awards this year. But to score as many goals he's done, and again, he's playing a slightly withdrawn role just behind Gianelli. He's not the out and out number nine.
And
but
I scored all the goals, and he brings a lot of people in the game all the time.
But absolutely magnificent season he's had.
And just as quick, Hibs almost took the lead at Easter Road against Celtic. It was really slack play from Burnaby, gave it away. Hibs into the box, and a fairly routine to good save from Scott Bain to keep Celtic level in this one after 30 seconds. What a start we've had. Really incredible stuff. I can't even remember if I asked you to predict the games at the bottom. Are United staying up tonight?
Yes, in Aberdeen and St Mirren. But I think with the young goalkeeper in, the problems have got over Stephen Fletcher, I do not see Kilmarnock losing. I think that's what I would say. I think it could be a really nervy nil-niller. That's how I think, and I think it'll go to the last game of the season.
Jim Duffy's here. Jim Goodwin, I think speaking to the BBC before the game, Scott Allen said that Stephen Fletcher hasn't trained. He's about 70%, and they're hoping to maybe get 45 minutes out of him.
I find that incredible. I really do. I think your striker, one of the most important players in the team, your goalkeeper, two big calls. If Dundee United were to make the playoff position and Stephen Fletcher gets injured tonight, then you're resting a lot in tonight's game.
I mean, I kind of get it, Jim. It's all the fans going along are thinking, if you can get him on that pitch, get him on that pitch. I'm not sure I've ever heard a manager sort of admit the size of the risk.
Yeah, it sounds almost like a bit panicky, doesn't it? And I think as if you're Kilmarnock, you're delighted with that. And, you know, you're trying to squeeze the game, you're trying to force it with a young goalkeeper, you're trying to put crosses in and set plays around them, all these sort of things. So I think it's handy the initiative to Kilmarnock for me. We know Kilmarnock's away form being very poor.
Honestly, sorry. Stop this for the news that you really need for tonight. He's done the 10. He's done it already. Only needed 3 minutes. Kevin Van Veen, 10 games in a row. Livingston 0, Motherwell 1. Where is the statue going? That's what I need. Is it near Gordondale's flat? Is it going to be somewhere, you know, in
your
the
garden?
Incredible.
But he's already got cult status, and he's now going for the iconic status. But listen, again, we've said this before, a joy to watch, a pleasure to have him in Scottish football. And you know, you just hope that you know, if he doesn't stay at Motherwell, one of the other clubs in Scotland saying, we want to keep this guy here because he's a breath of fresh air.
It's an incredible stat if that's someone at Rangers Celtic. That's
Matt
Viduka. Matt Viduka was the last player, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's Viduka's record.
And that was 20 years ago, so it shows you how difficult it is.
Incredible, honestly.
And he's got the chance to obviously break that.
There's another chance for Hearts
at the weekend. Good chance for Hearts.
Brilliant save from Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor brought back into the team. Not ready to stop talking about Van Veen just yet, but I'll let you crack on. Gianelli has been in great form for Hearts. It was him, I think, that had that shot there. And it's a real end-to-end start to this one. Celtic had a very early wobble and almost conceded, but a good save from Scott Bain, who gets a rare chance in goal tonight. But now Celtic back on the attack, if you like, with that sort of controlled possession. Put a lot of pressure around the edge of the box, but, you know, it's finding that breakthrough that can be the hardest bit for sure.
Yeah, and again, you know, Hearts have scored from a long throw, and they've got a similar situation again with Hill getting up to do it again. So, they're not going to be shy about putting balls in the box. They know that Alan McGregor's a terrific goalkeeper, but the one thing he isn't brilliant at is those type of balls that come into the box when he's surrounded by players.
It's even someone's got a long throw against you, you just feel like getting it banned, don't you? You just think...
You want to be the guy that's asked to stay on the pitch.
Give us a break all night long. James Hill, very good at it. Anyway, before we get any more goals and before we say goodbye for the evening, what about the teaser? You've got a couple left. Goalkeepers who've played in the Champions League group stages for Celtic or Rangers since 2000. It doesn't include the current goalies. And you've got Klaus, Marshall, Vatterus, Douglas, Gordon, De Vries, Forster and Christensen.
Is I don't know, again, if he played in the Champions League, but John McLaughlin?
Yeah, he did this year, well done.
Logan Bailey?
No.
What about, I don't know how far, Barkas, did he have any games for Celtic?
You've only got one more Celtic.
How far are we going back?
Two more Celtic ones, there's an easy Celtic one. Think of that.
Scott Bain?
No, easier than that in terms of...
Boric?
Yes,
Arthur Boric. I wasn't sure how long ago it was Arthur Boric.
Right, so one more Celtic and that should got all the Rangers now, isn't it? So
I don't know. Celtic.
Yep.
Is it? No, I was going to say there was a Zelenki or something like that.
No, Zaluska.
Nah, we're going back to the early 2000s for this one.
Jonathan Gould.
Just after that.
Yeah.
I think. Swedish.
Hedman.
Magnus Hedman. There we go. Right, we're almost out of time tonight. Let me bring you up to speed quickly on what's happening. Anthony Ralston's just missed a chance for Celtic. Should have done better. Rangers nil, Hearts 1. Lawrence Shankland with the early goal in that one. Kevin Van Veen, of course, has scored for Motherwell. 10 games in a row, they lead Livy. And in those big, nervy ones at the bottom, nothing doing yet. Same story, Aberdeen, St Mirren. Really, whatever happens tonight, it is guaranteed to be dramatic. It's guaranteed to have huge talking points tomorrow. So make sure you do join us tomorrow night at 6 with Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. We look forward to it already. And Amber is up next. Thanks for listening.